KC is proud to be the only radio station in Ireland with a regular astronomy slot. And joining me once again is David Moore, Astronomy Ireland magazine. And there's a lot happening in the skies this week, including the International Space Station blazing across the evening sky, a possible rare space chase, and even the official start of spring. David, you're very welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Now, before I go any further, also people can ring in there on 056-77-62-777 and Martina will take your calls there. As Eamon O'Sullivan did, Eamon O'Sullivan rang in earlier on, David, this is about you. And he said to me, or he said on the phone call, because I did the introduction earlier, what was going to be on the program for today. And he rang in to say, has David Moore not read the Bible? God created everything, including physics. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, we've only got about, 20 minutes to discuss religion. And I tend to take my great colleague Sir Patrick Moore's stance on the thing. Maybe it's a bit more British than I need, but there was three things we would never discuss on air. One was cricket, the other was politics, and finally was religion.
Religion. There you go.
All I will say is that, you know, a religion is what you believe, and proof denies faith. So it's very different to science, where you believe nothing. Everything has to be proved to you.
Mm.
So they're like oil and water. They just don't mix, and there's no sense arguing over it ad nauseum. We've got the whole universe to study. If you believe a supernatural being created it, then that's a belief system. But if you're into science, everything I tell you today, I've got to be able to prove it.
Okay, and I'll just say to Eamon, first of all, to thank Eamon for ringing in, because his point is as valid as anyone else's. So thank you indeed for that, Eamon, for calling in about that and giving your opinion on that. Now, David, let's start with the big headline this week. The International Space Station is visible in the evening skies right across Ireland at the moment. For anyone who hasn't seen it before, what exactly should people be looking for and why is it so bright?
Yeah, well, I've seen it myself a few times so far. First became visible last Friday, and we'll see it every night this week. And it looks like the brightest thing in the sky, because it's the biggest thing mankind has ever assembled in space. In fact, it took lots of missions to get the thing up there, because at 400 tons, there is no rocket that can lift that amount in one go. So it's sort of been sent up in 20-ton, 10-ton type modules that bolt together to make this higgledy-piggledy-looking space station, which doesn't matter how it looks because there's no air up there, so it doesn't have to be aerodynamic. And if you see in pictures of the space station, you'll see massive big solar panels and then all the different modules bolted on, like Lego or Meccano. And on board at the moment, there are 5 astronauts, so that's what makes it also unique. One, it's the biggest. Two, it's actually landed. We can see it from Ireland. In fact, it flies over Ireland every day, all year round. It's just sometimes it'll fly over in the middle of the day when we can't see it, or in the dead of night when it's not being lit up by the sun. And we only see it because it's reflecting sunlight. It's not that they have headlights on. So there's this 2-week window every 2 months when it is visible to the naked eye, and that's where we are now, the 13th to the 28th of March. There's the times we're going to be able to see it. Different time every night. We'll update our social media feeds every day by 4 o'clock with not only the exact prediction of when to see it, because there are lots of apps that do that these days, but also if anything interesting happened. And you mentioned that space chase, and we've got one coming on Sunday.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little later on. Now, just to remind people again, we have this International Space Station this time up to March the 28th. The timing of it every evening will change, but all those times can be found on your social media at from 4 o'clock every day. Is that correct?
Yes. So if you go to astronomy.ie, down the bottom you'll see Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, and it's already been updated. And I can save you the trouble of going to astronomy.ie by telling the time tonight. It's just after 7 o'clock. So you want to set your alarm a few minutes before 7:40, say 7:35. I always set my alarm 5 minutes earlier. It reminds me to pack up, get out, put a coat on, get outside, bring the whole family. and, you know, show them space history in the making. Mankind's first real outpost in space. And an incredible place in today's world when you think that up on there are Russians and Americans working together with no real trouble.
And sorry, just to clarify there, David, you said it'll be seen shortly after 7, and then you're telling people to send, sorry, maybe just, is it 6:40 they need to send?
7:40. So start getting excited around 7 o'clock.
Right, okay.
Finish watching your soaps on TV or whatever you do around 7, have your tea, and then get ready to put that coat on after 7:30.
After 7:30.
7:40 is the exact time when it'll be highest in the sky, and it's
okay.
The brightest thing in the sky when it flies over. You just won't miss it. You don't need any telescopes or binoculars to step outside normal eyesight. In bad eyesight, you'll see it.
Okay. Now, there was a remarkable sight last night where people in parts of the south of Ireland could actually see the ISS pass in front of Jupiter. Just how rare is that type of alignment?
Yeah, that's extremely rare. You need to be in a very narrow strip to actually see it pass in front of the planet. Well, better to see or when it passes in front of the moon, because you can see that from quite a wide strip, several miles wide. And I've actually seen it happen a few times over the decades, despite the Irish weather. Usually when it's going to happen, it'll be cloudy. And you have to be in the right spot at the right time. And we predict all that on the social media. I don't think there's any apps that do that. So that's why you should check our social media daily for Ireland, rather than the more generic ones worldwide. And, you know, if you were lucky enough to be from across, actually, near Cork City, over toward Tramore, a line along the south coast that way, that's exactly where you would see. And if you're anywhere near that line, you would have seen them get extremely close. And Jupiter, as we'll probably mention later, is the brightest star-like object in the sky. It's 10 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. And it'll be there for hours, but the space station only takes about 2 or 3 minutes to cross the sky.
And did you get any images? Were any images sent of this to you, David?
I think I had. I remember the rain, the weather I have every night. But I think I had rain that night last night. So we do need a clear sky, because remember, they're 400 kilometers above the ground.
Okay.
The clouds are only a few kilometers above the ground. So if the clouds are there, I'm afraid they're going to spoil your view.
Of course.
But, you know, you've got till March 28th to see it, and the clouds won't always be there.
Okay, now, there could be something even more unusual this weekend, and you've just alluded to it earlier, what you're calling a rare space chase involving a Progress resupply craft heading to the station. What exactly might people see if the launch goes ahead?
Yeah, well, it's worth mentioning that the space station is a working laboratory, so they need supplies, both food for the astronauts, but also some experiments to be sent up, tools or any equipment that they need, because they've also got to maintain the space station themselves. And on Sunday, around noon, we're expecting the Russians to launch from their Baikonur space launch complex a Progress resupply craft. It can take several tons of material up to the space station. Sometimes it goes up very quickly, in about 3 hours. Sometimes it goes up slower. Often they'll go up, get into space, make sure everything's okay, and then approach the space station very carefully, because both craft are traveling at 17,000 miles an hour. So anything goes wrong, there's a big potential for serious damage, not loss of life. So they're extremely cautious when these dockings happen. So what you might see on Sunday night, hopefully we'll know more by then, we'll update the social media, is the brilliant space station.
And I take
with a fainter satellite next to it, tracking it exactly across the sky. And I haven't seen one of those, gosh, in years. So we're really hoping that we get a chance to see it, both one, that it goes up on time, which it often does, and also that the sky is clear over Ireland.
And the Progress resupply craft, I take it, is an unmanned craft.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. There's no crew due up just yet. They've only recently put up a crew after that medical emergency they had earlier this year when a crew had to be brought down. So the crews typically spend 6 to 9 months on board, so the crew changes are less regular. There was actually another craft, Japanese module, that undocked last week, and an American craft that also undocked last week. So things are coming and going on the space station all the time. And if anybody sees the space station, just email us your location and what you thought of it. We'll put you in the magazine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another lovely sight is coming this week, and this is on Friday evening, when Venus appears very close to the crescent moon. What would that look like, David, to the naked eye?
Yeah, well, the Astronomy On magazine is aimed at beginners, so it features things that you can see with the naked eye. And anyone who's got the March issue, just have a look at the Sky Diary pages in the middle, and you'll see simple diagrams showing what these sights should look like to the naked eye. But if you haven't got the magazine yet, well, just look over in the west in twilight, because Venus is only just coming into view now, but pretty low down. And I saw it myself two or three nights ago when it was clear that low down, and it was plainly obvious to the naked eye, so you'll need a good clear horizon. And your guide on Friday night will be the moon. The moon will be a very thin crescent, and just below it is Venus. And if you hold your fist out at arm's length, they're less than half a fist width apart. There's a lovely diagram on page 26 I'm looking at now, in March issue of Astronomy On magazine. It shows exactly what it will look like. Now, they're going to set before the twilight dies away completely, so you want to be watching soon after sunset. And sunset this week is roughly around half six. Varies a bit around the country. So I'd hope to be seeing it, say, by 7 o'clock, if you were somewhere near the middle of the country, let's say.
And I take it, David, that if you had a pair of binoculars, the pairing, it would look even more impressive.
Yeah. Now, you definitely see the two with the naked eye, Venus and the Moon, two brightest objects in the whole sky, even outshining Jupiter, although Jupiter will be there much, much longer, well after midnight. But if you've got a pair of binoculars, they're about 100 times better than your eye, so Venus will look extremely bright. You won't see it as a disc or anything. It's a bit too small or far away for binoculars. But the moon, of course, you will. And the one thing you'll see, especially as the twilight dies away, is because it's just a thin sliver of a crescent, the dark side of the moon will be glowing faintly. And that's actually sunlight being reflected off the Earth onto the moon. If you were standing on the dark side of the moon looking up, you'd see a full Earth in the sky. And, of course, the Earth's much bigger than the moon, and it's actually shinier. So it's about 10 times brighter than our full moon. So it actually lights up the whole landscape very faintly. And in your binoculars, you could probably see the main dark markings on the dark side of the moon if you're watching out for Venus.
Now, David, you've also mentioned a treat for telescope owners on Thursday evening involving Jupiter. What's happening with the moon Ganymede? Is it Ganymede and its shadow crossing the planet?
Ganymede
and its shadow crossing the planet. What's happening with the moon Ganymede and its shadow crossing the planet?
Well, we do the odd bit for people with telescopes, mostly the magazines about the naked eye. So if you do have a telescope, a good one, that will show the cloud belts on Jupiter, you'll definitely see the shadow of Ganymede. All of the four moons can pass in front of Jupiter, but they're about the same brightness as Jupiter's cloud top, so you don't really see them. But the shadows are jet black and circular, so they look really impressive. And if anything will stand out, they will. And Ganymede casts the biggest shadow onto Jupiter's cloud tops. So if I was going to watch one, we call them a shadow transit of Jupiter, it's this one this week, because it doesn't happen that often. Ganymede, I think, takes 2 weeks to go around this Jupiter, and it has to do it when Jupiter is visible from Ireland. So you factor all that into the equation. You probably only see this once a month, once every 2 months in the Irish weather. Maybe only once a year.
And
so that's one night to get the telescope out if you have one. And you can hold your smartphone at the eyepiece of your telescope and take a picture of it and send it into Astronomy On a magazine.
And, David, just on that, if there is a clear night and people have a decent telescope, where should they be looking when they... what time and where should they be looking?
Well, Jupiter is high overhead. So you've no problem finding it. It's the brightest thing in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you look at it, you see it's got a little disc with your telescope and the moon's either side. Sometimes you can see all four. Sometimes they go in front of or behind the planet. You don't see all four. And this week, it's on Thursday night, and it's going to be between about 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. It'll take 3 hours for the shadow to cross the planet. So if there's a bit of bad weather, don't give up. Anything can happen in the Irish weather in 3 hours.
Okay, and finally, David, we're actually at a seasonal turning point this week as well. The March equinox happens on Friday afternoon. From an astronomical point of view, why is that moment when spring officially begins?
Well, you know, there's been a trend now. They start calling the seasons after calendars of the month, which is completely wrong. The calendar, there's an incredible history behind it. And it's been fudged by Roman emperors, popes, and everything else. And it's meaningless to the planet Earth. What actually causes the seasons? A tilt of the Earth's axis. And so the sun will appear overhead at different points on the Earth. And when it's directly overhead on the equator, heading north, that's the March equinox, which marks the start of spring in the northern hemisphere of the Earth. Our friends down under will see the start of autumn for them. And the seasons have always been defined that way. Ireland seems to have gone a bit berserk and started thinking it's March the 1st. And some people think it's February the 1st, just because there's some signs of life and spring is coming back. That's just the sign of the end of winter. Okay. Today is winter, and the equinox will happen on the 20th of March. That afternoon, in fact, we can tell the nearest minute, I think it's 2:36 p.m.
Okay.
And that's when spring starts in the Northern Hemisphere, including Ireland. The Americans are good at this. They know it's all about the equinoxes and the solstices. But Britain and definitely Ireland, even Ireland, start to go for February the 1st, which is absolutely crazy talk and totally denies our knowledge of the Earth going around the sun. You might as well be saying the Earth is flat.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there. David, fascinating as always. If people want to follow those International Space Station viewing times, check out the sky diagrams or even join Astronomy Ireland and get the monthly magazine aimed at beginners. You'll find all the details at astronomy.ie. Thanks to David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, for joining me on CRKC, the only station in Ireland with its own astronomy slot. Thank you indeed, David, for joining me. Now,